We should have started with Kyle. Actually, that's a very good disclaimer. I did fly through night last night, and I came directly after Shacharit. I came directly here, and therefore, if I fall asleep in the middle of my own speech, that's going to be a chiddush. My father said Daf Yomi Shir for many, many years. He was a physics professor. He said Daf Yomi Shir for 50 years or so. And I remember at one time, at the Friday night Daf Yomi, as anybody who learned Daf Yomi knows, is the most challenging Daf Yomi ever. During the winter, you sit there back in front of the Gemara. It's a... I remember one time walking into the Daf Yomi. He used to say the Daf Yomi share in the house, and in fact, not only was the Oyom asleep, but the Maggid share also had Chabad Remel. So anyway, I hope this doesn't happen over here as well. I'll tell you one thing about my father. My father was again, like I say, he was a physics professor, but he was unbelievably involved in the Daf. I mean, he lived and breathed the Daf. He was nifter just within 2 months, so I'm just after my first haircut, right before I arrived here, when I first became a Yigaman, I also started saying the Daf, and somebody joined from Maseches Makis, a serious guy, and I say the Daf at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then after Makis, he came over to me to say that. He's no longer continuing. It's too fast. He can't hold on to it. It's Nishko Lam. And I commiserated with him. You know, it's talking very fast at this pace. It's not possible. So I told my father what happened. So my father said, oh, yeah, find out what he's doing instead at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I took up my father's beer, and I called him. And I said, no, so what are you doing instead of 6 o'clock in the morning? So he said, you're right. I'm going to make chavrusa with my son. I said, oh, beautiful, okay. So I reported back, I go back to my father, I said, he's making chavrusa. He says, oh yeah, wait 2 weeks and call again. This I didn't do. But that's the magic of Daf HaYomi. Daf HaYomi, the magic of Daf HaYomi is that the show must go on, no matter what, through like the mail, whatever, snow, rain, whatever, no matter what, the Daf HaYomi continues on day after day. I spoke to a Maggid Shir once, he was a Maggid Shir in Stanford, and he told me that he had to prepare Shir by a Hasna once. So he came with a bunch of photostats and preparing Shir during the wedding. And somebody told him that, Rabbi Akiva, during the wedding, you're preparing Shir? He said, no, it's Daf Yomi. Oh, Daf Yomi is different. You know, that's, everybody understands that has to go on. And Lamaisa, that is the magic of Daf Yomi. But I want to talk about the fact that there's another angle that we have to be aware of also. I want to speak about another angle of Limud HaTorah that we have to focus on besides the consistency as well. First of all, before I get started, Rav Zalman mentioned to me that by night, this place Marish is so full that they have an overflow into the sukkah, that they winterized or summarized, I don't know what you do over here in Florida, which is amazing because that means that there's over 60-70 people learning at Beis Medrash by night. I am from Muncie. I don't know any Beis Medrash that has that amount of people in one Beis Medrash by night. It's amazing that you should have that a small community like this has such a dedication to Limud HaTorah. You should give yourself a round of applause. So, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was put up in a very high-end apartment that was in the center of town, and I had the unlucky experience of it being right next to a mall where throughout Hanukkah they had concerts. Every night there was another concert, and apparently one of them was a very popular Sephardi singer, and it was the closest that I never thought I would ever experience in my life what a rock concert looked like. And but I couldn't tell the difference between that the music that was from that venue and from the way that the audience was reacting. It was disturbing, but it was fascinating also. You know, the Gemara says, "Kama hirpakia do alayu." That the Gemara said that you that the Chama Ramaram is to stand up for the goyim, even for elderly goyim, because kama hirpakia do alayu, how much life experience they had. You know, there's one of the things I thought I would experience in my life was to see what such a concert looks like. But it's unbelievable to see what the power of music is. To see that the whole crowd is so orangutan in what's going on it says something about the power of music. And I want to focus on not only music, but on the other arts as well, like poetry and painting and music. And note the fact that whereas in other cultures, that's very primary. In Yiddishkeit, it's not. And I want to build up the kasha. In other words, like this. You know, we all know that the dynamic of earning olam haba is dimei bayrei le'nivra. That by a person being mashlim himself, by a person attaining some level of perfection, he becomes sort of like the Eibishter kilu. There's a word for it in Latin, dio emeshio, I think it's called. That you become like sort of dimei to the Eibishter, so therefore you misaneg al Hashem. By adapting the shleimus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to whatever degree a human can, so therefore he's able to be connecting and cling to the Eibishter and be able to experience the ultimate timing in that manner. And therefore, you would think that all capacities of a human can get their shleimus through Torah mitzvahs, and it's not. And you can see how that's true. Be'olam HaChaver, clearly, there's many mitzvahs that way. The seichel of a person has Torah to be ma'alit. But what's interesting is that there's another koyach in a mensch, and that is the koyach of the arts, of the poetry and music and culture and these things. And there are no mitzvahs that pertain to it at all. In other words, I'll come to it from this angle. If you look at it, what's a goyish hero? Who's the guy you elect as the heroes? Wealthy people or charismatic people or people that have power, military power. It's something that they themselves are machshir, and that's who they hold are the heroes. Those are the people that are idealized as the people who are manifesting their values. When we look at our heroes, what are our heroes? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe, whatever Chassidish Rebbe you want to choose. So what miles do they have? They have basically two milas, the Tamir Chacham, the scholars, right, and the tzaddikim, the pious. I once read in a secular source, he was talking about the Haredi world, he was talking about the Orthodox world. Our heroes are pious scholars. Definitely looks at them. Not particularly charismatic. I mean, I Baruch Chaim 2 days ago. He's not even interested in being charismatic. He doesn't give a share, nothing. He doesn't do anything that a regular leader should do. He's not rich. He's not powerful. He's not nothing. What? What is he? He's a pious scholar. That's because those are the things that we're machshir. We're machshir people who are good midas and people who are tamid chacham. Those are the two midas that we care about. Nothing else is important. What's fascinating is that in the Gaisha world, it's part of being a Muslim is also, or there is also an equal of shleimus in the arts. When we talk about Al Gedolim, were they musicians? Were they artists? Were they poets? Were they sculptures? Whenever anybody have a hagmina of putting Mordechai ben David on the same level as Rosh Hashiva because he's a good singer, it's not part of our ideals of shleimus. It's a shein lezach. It's a good thing. Shleimus simple. The chashav yid. I'm not saying, but he's not Rosh Kollel yet. I'm saying it's considered to be a mila, but not in the pantheon of the milas that we look at shleimus or adam. We don't look at the artistic impulse as being important. Why? Because there's no mitzvahs about it. There's no mitzvahs to write shirim. There's no mitzvahs to make songs, to make sculptures, to make poetry. There's no mitzvahs about any of these things. Whereas every other kayak in them, whereas the seichel mentioned, a seichel of a person has mitzvahs, his other mechaber has mitzvahs, there are no mitzvahs that address particularly the artistic impulse. And I want to know why that is so. Now, there is something called Hida Mitzvah, obviously. And gradually, Hida Mitzvah is very stressed on Hanukkah. That's one hint, Mahadim and Hadar and so forth. And it's also a tremendous amount of the arts manifest in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was called the Hoidze Beis HaMikdash. Over there, you got anything you wanted. It was beautiful. There was music. There was singing. Whatever you wanted, the Beis HaMikdash. But for the average person, it was not part of a shleimus. So I want to be oimid on that ha'ara. Again, they're just to bring out the same point, like in, from a Gershwin perspective, a Beethoven, who was a gadol in music, is just as chashuv as Einstein. They're just different parshiyos, different interests. But again, in our world, the only thing that seichel Torah has the ilui. There's no the artistic impulse has no mitzvahs for it legabe at all. So why is that? Okay, now to set that aside, I want to talk about the famous Ramban at the beginning of Baal Oizga. And that is, you know, we lay Nisiyim on Hanukkah. Why do we lay Nisiyim? So the Torah brings because it brings the Psikta, because that was the day that the Melechus HaMishkan was finished, was Chafhei Kislev. But even though the Nesim actually didn't bring their Kabbalah until Nissan time, but still, because of that, we bring the Kriyas HaTorah of Hanukkah is the Nesim. But others, the Knesset Doyle and others say, no, it's associated to this Ramban, the beginning of Baal Oizga. The famous Ramban says that after the Nesim at the end of Nosai, Kamrek HaZkes of Achas, it says about Baal Oizga Saneris, Amul Pnei HaMenorah Yiru Shiva Saneris, and it goes on to speak about Aaron HaKayin lighting the Neiris. And Rashi says, what's Pshat? Rashi says, because Chol Shadaitai, he felt bad about the fact that he didn't participate in the Chanukah Sam Mizbeach, in the Karbonis, and therefore Baruch said, don't feel bad, Shalchot Gadol Mishalahem, you'll have a beggar because you're going to be made to the Mamad HaKaneiros. And the Ramban says, why is that considered to be the appeasement of Aaron HaKayin, because he's going to lighten menorah? That's his appeasement. Why he lit the Ketairos, as many other things that he did in the Beis HaMikdash? Why Dafka the Hadlagas HaKaneiros? And the Ramban famously says that it's a reference to Hanukkah, that there's going to be another inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, similar to this inauguration of the Mishkan, and that inauguration is going to be through the Bnei Aharon, and it's going to involve a menorah, and therefore, Shalachot Gadol Mishalahem, because you're going to be, through your descendants, is going to be an inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, similar to the inauguration of the Mizbeach that's done through the Nesiyim. And the question is as follows. First of all, there is no specific inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash that happened on the menorah per se. In other words, by Hanukkah, what happened? The Yevanim came in and they desecrated the whole Mishkan from top to bottom. The whole thing had to be nisganeh from beginning to end. Now it happened to be at that same time, there was the menorah, there was the mizbeach, there was everything. At that same time, there was also a nace with the candles. But to say that the chinuch is associated to the menorah we're mixing two things in together. There was a chinuch of the entire Beis HaMikdash, yes. And at that time, there was also a miracle with the menorah. But to say that the shalchot gol mishalhem, because you're going to have a what? You're going to be mechanic the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Hanukkah, and at that time there's going to be a menorah balis as an ace. It just seems like a stretch how you get from one point to the other. And the second thing is that if you look in Parshas Baloscha, it says then we're talking about the halachas on it. It says v'zeh masi amenorah mikshah zov ayurecha pircha mikshah he kamas asher b'har. It was such a complicated piece of work that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand how to make it, and of course, well, for sure, menorah shel esh, like Rashi says. Why is that being brought up over here? In Baloscha and Neneris, we're talking about the lighting of the menorah. We're not talking about the creation of the menorah. That's in Pruma Tetzav and Vayakha Pakudei. It shouldn't be over here altogether. But there, Masih HaMenorah Mikshah Zov, why are we talking about the construction, the intricate way that the menorah looks? So that's another ha'ara. Okay, So I want to wrap this up with a little bit. Now I maybe should have made this disclaimer at the beginning. What I'm going to say now is somewhat speculative, but I guess that's one of the mileage that you have when you come to West Palm Beach. North Hollywood is that when I get back to Monty. No, don't know what I said. Anyways, but I want to say the following suggestion. That was a big mistake.
North Miami Beach.
North Miami Beach, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm sleeping, right? Exactly. It's like this. The Arizal, I know about this, because Gedal Yom, the Sfasemes, they all talk about this Arizal. The Arizal says that Hanukkah is the tikkun of the Midah of Hoyim. And basically, the way it works is as follows, that there are seven Midahs. There are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyim, Yisrael, Malchus, and they correspond to the seven Yom Tovim. That Chesed is Keneged Pesach. That this is where the Torah says that Avraham Avinu is Chesed and is Keneged Pesach. Yitzchok is Keneged Gevura is Shavuos, because the shofar of that they blew by Shavuos. Well, that's the Torah explains this. That's the meter of Gevura. Chesed Gevura Tiferes is Keneged Yaakov is Sukkos. And Netzach, Hoyd, Netzach is Moshe Rabbeinu, Simchas Torah, and Hoyd is Chanukah. So, and then Yisoid is Yosef, is Keneged Purim, and David is Malchus, is Keneged Tisha B'Av, that's going to become a Yom Tov Lazer Lavai. But that's the basic Mahalak, and it comes out that Hoyd is Keneged the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Also, it says that when Daniel sees the beast that represents Yavan, he says, "V'hoydi nepach alay l'mashkes," that my hoyd became corrupted upon me, that they somehow affected the midah of hoyd. The Beis Hamikdash, like we mentioned before, was v'hoyd l'chashem abdua v'agvura v'akvet v'netzach v'hoyd. The one bracha says refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Aaron Hakohen's midah is the midah of hoyd, like I just said, that the seven spies are connected to seven midahs. So basically, what happens is as follows: that we have Yavan. And he corrupts the Mokam Ahoyd, the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of Hoyd of Hanukkah, and the Tikkun is to Bnei Aharon, who are connected to the Midah of Hoyd. Why is Yavan? Why does Yavan have this capacity, the ability of being Mekalkal Hoyd? Because there's a pasuk that says, Yafta Lakim Yefes Yishkan Ba'ol Hashem. That Yefes is supposed to be Ba'ol Hashem, meaning that Yefes Hoyd, I mean, Yefet means beauty, which is basically the same thing as Hoyd, is splendor. It's supposed to be Ba'ol Hashem. It's supposed to be Tofel to the Ol Hashem. You're supposed to have, the Gemara Darshan that Yaf Yavusa Shal Yefes is Yavan. They later write the Megillah in Greek because it's Yaf Yavusa Shal Yefes. So therefore, Yafel Kimli Yefes, Mishkan Ba'ol Hashem, that the Yaf Yavusa Shal Yefes is supposed to be Tofel and Batel to Ol Hashem. So Yavan is supposed to be secondary. It's supposed to be a maidservant to Shem, but it rebels against its secondary status. And that's why you have Misyavnim, that they don't agree to that secondary status. So that took that to a kilkel in the Midah of Hoyd, in the Makam Hoyd, and the Tikkun has to be Alidei Hoyd where they are. And that's basically the structure of how you would say this, the Kabbalistic Mahalak to Hanukkah. What does it mean in practical terms? I want to get back to my original question. My original question was, why is it that the arts have such a secondary role in Yiddishkeit? And you see that it's not Stamazoi, it's a Pasuk that says so. Yaftal Kimli Yafes Vishkan Ba'al Hashem. We're saying that the Yofi, the arts, are supposed to be secondary to Ba'al Hashem. That's why there are no mitzvahs on it. It's supposed to be a secondary and auxiliary thing. It's not supposed to be the main goal. It's supposed to be a Hekatimtz of Ba'al Hashem. Why? So this is my heritage. My heritage is that what Yofi does is that it gives us a sense of what you see is not what you get. Okay, I'll take my kids to an IMAX when it's one of these like Grand Canyon things. You know, I think most of the Niagara Falls, you know, we go to the IMAX. And so we went to the Grand Canyon, the IMAX, and then there's like this magnificent music and the the shot, the camera shot goes over the canyon. You see, Mamish Mirafs and Igor, it's unbelievable. The Maise Abria, and they say 6 billion years ago the water came rushing through. So if that's what it's all about water coming rushing through. So why are you having majestic music in the background? What's the music about? Water came through and it rushed it and washed it away. What's the music about? What's it all about? It's clearly that when somebody goes, I went to this from Rabbi Friend. He said that he mentioned about Shuvu, who said they were more moved by going to the Grand Canyon than going to the Kaisel. They saw so much Maisei Kodesh Baruch Hu in these magnificent places, like the Grand Canyon. Maybe they felt they were more inspired there. But the Maisei, when somebody sees a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful piece of music or something, what you get a sense is that what you see is not what you get. In other words, this belt, what the cells and molecules and matter that makes up this world is not the end all and be all. The whole point is that's our sense of awe. Wow, mi bara ela. When you see Grand Canyon, you're just overwhelmed with a sense mi bara ela. That's why you have majestic music playing, because they can say what they want, the narrator, but that's the majestic music is because people are feeling mi bara ela. Whenever somebody gets a sense of art, what he's feeling is that there's something more than what we see. It's not just tangible. It's a feeling, I think, of me'ein olam haba. It's a feeling of it's a me'ein of the sky that's going to be us in love. That's a me'ein. It's not what we're here for. We're here for our yom la'asoyim u'machal kabbos karam. We're here to do. We're here to be. To be poil. The same way, Shabbos is not. We're here for Sheish Shemay Ha'Maisa, and Shabbos is the inspiration for us to do what we're supposed to be doing during the 6 days of the week, right? Shabbos is the main alum half of it. It's when it's a Kabbalah schar ki'ilu for of the main alum half of that there is at the time of the alum half. In other words, again, Hayom Ma'aser from Ruach the Kabbalah Schara. Just. If you could imagine the body language of somebody who's studying a Shveres Sugya, right? So how do you study Shveres Sugya? You hold your hand on your head and you concentrate and you're trying to break down the Sugya. You are trying to be the gover over the Sugya. You're trying to be make the problem out of the klolim. You're breaking down the pieces. You're trying to see how it fits together. It's like you are the Zohar and it's the Chatzah that you're working on. But the artistic experience is the opposite. You are being overwhelmed by the music. It's talking to you. It's radiating its beauty to you. You are the mekabel from the thing that's giving yoifi. It's lamachal kabel zharam. Look at that. Somebody's looking at a painting. He's sitting back and he wants to see how it affects him, how it overwhelms him, how it even in the process of creating music is like that, because you try something out and you see how it feels to you, how it affects you. It's a gather of lamachal kabel zharam. And therefore, there's no mitzvah on it, because it's only a hechatimsa of inspiration. Now, it's not only, it's a merging azach. If somebody inspires other people to do what's right, and he shows you the beauty of the beautiful Shabbos and the beautiful niggun that can inspire you, that's what it's all about, because then the male will do what he's supposed to be doing. But that can never become the end result. The end result can never be music. The music is a hechatimsa. It's only a means towards an end. So there's no mitzvahs on artistic things per se. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's only a hechatimsa to inspire us to do what we're supposed to be doing. Even when it comes to, let's say, your life will be able to relate to this better. You have a shvera sugi, right? And you are in the zacha mode, like I don't know if that's a bit. You're being going over the sugi, like you bring it down, you're trying to break it apart, you're trying to understand it. And then, wow, you get the yisoid. And then you sort of mamlech the yisoid over yourself, it radiates its shenkai to you. In other words, wow, that's the me'ein olam haba, that's the lamachal kabel tzchar of the sugya. At the end of the sugya, when you get the yisoid, then you makabel the geshmak from the sugya. It's the me'ein olam haba that you are ready, that's ready, the sugya is ready itself to you. And in that sense, I think that it's always important that even, I know, to double back where I started from, it's always important for somebody to have a Ian Seder, because Daf Yomi is a very, you can't get the to get the inspiration of wow, it's a beautiful Torah out there. It's I'm saying that for myself. It's I'm basically finishing the cycle, but I always feel like I only get half of it because I know I missed a couple of lot here and there, and Kol Kavur connects on Master Dami, and I have no idea where they are. So basically, I finish half of Shas. So, but the Maisa from Dafa Yomi, and I'm saying this year, you don't get that sense, you don't get that experience of experiencing the beauty of a sugya. When you go through a sugya with Ian, and you trouble yourself on it, and you break it down, and you understand the yisoy, then the yoyfi of the sugya, the inspiration that of a me'en olam haba hergish that comes out of the sugya, that only, I think it only gets from Ian. And I think it's a very critical thing for everybody to have an Ian say to feel the yoyfi of the sugya. I have to finish off with a story, of course. I read the story somewhere. I was told in this poll, I called up the author, and he said that he spoke to the chavrusa of the first one. What happened to? There was a bacha who was learning in a mes medrash somewhere 40 years ago, and he was having questions in Amuna, and his rabbi suggested maybe. You know, you're going to learn. Maybe write a sefer on a sugya that you're learning, and you know, maybe through that you'll get a chizuk. Anyways, so he did it. He tried, and he wrote some sort of pamphlet on a sugya. But apparently, lo yistayim mitzvah, and he ran off. 40 years later, there's a bacha learning, I think, in Stanford, and he has to say a kabura, and he is looking around through the library to see if anybody talks about the sugya. He finds and he comes across this pamphlet. So he goes through it, and it's the guy saying good, but he has some aura, a hint of hair. So he figures that he'll call up the author of the pamphlet to see what's all about. So he looks up the number and he calls up, and this old woman picks up the phone and she says, "Oh, that's my son, whatever, Harry." He said, "Oh, but he wrote the same." He said, "Yeah, he's not Orthodox anymore." So the guy, apparently he was a Tiklega Bacha, he said, "I don't care if he's Orthodox, I want to talk about this with you." He said, "Where does he live?" He figured he's going to call him up, he's not going to pick up the phone. He said, I'll go down to his house. He lives somewhere in Greenwich Village. Anyways, so he gets on the train, and he goes down to Greenwich Village, and he knocks on the door, and some guy with long hair opens the door. And he says, "Hey man, what's up?" So he says, "I want to talk to you about this sugya." He says, "What are you talking about?" He said, and he sold him a sefer. "Oh, come on, I don't know what's going on. Come on, let me talk to you." Anyways, he lets him in the house and he starts talking about it. And they start talking about it. And it goes on, and he gets a little rangatan with 12 of fighting back and forth and so forth. And the guy says, "Hey, this is too much. You know, we'll continue another day." So, okay, fine, no problem. Anyway, so he takes the train back to yeshiva. The next day, he wants to call this guy to continue the conversation, and he forgot to take his number, so he calls again the mother. So the mother says, "You're not gonna believe what happened. Last night he calls me up, and he says that Mom, I made a mistake. I ruined my life. I went in the wrong direction. I don't know what I do with myself. I should have stayed from, I just, whatever." And then he calls Rebbeim and he said, and gave him the speech. And then he died that night clutching his sefer. Unbelievable story. It was so unbelievable that I didn't believe it. So I emailed the author, and the author said, he spoke to the chavrusa, the guy that did it, which is incredible. But on the other hand, he wanted to speak to the guy himself that didn't love this. So, but anyway, but, and Murray the Gemaisa, that you know the capacity of Ian Atayra to really involve to involve a person in learning, and to involve a person to take over a person's life, that it's always going to draw him back to his makar. So just to get to answer those questions, why when we talk about the Chanukas Hamizbeah, the Chanukah that happened at the time of Hanukkah, and it was through the menorah, you see, the whole base of Mikdash symbolized this idea. It was a beautiful place. All aspects of beauty were to be found in the base of Mikdash. The Hoyza base of Mikdash. There was music, it was beautiful, there was poetry, whatever you wanted. But it was only a head attempt to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't an end unto itself, but particularly the menorah. The menorah was the most intricate of all the kelim. V'zeh ma'is amra miksha zav. But all that height was only a head attempt of the near mitzvah Torah R, of the R that was on top of that height. That was the whole point of the height of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Yevanim, that's what they symbolized. The big machlokes between Aristotle and the Rambam was about this, that basically Aristotle held that the world was kadmon, and what you see is what they get. That was it, you know. So therefore they celebrated beauty as the end unto itself. There was nothing behind it. It wasn't a hechatzitz before everything else. It wasn't. It was yafteh yishkan ba'alei yafas. It wasn't yishkan ba'alei shei. It was the end unto itself. And because there was no other world out there, there was nothing more. All you can celebrate is this world. But it's not true. And the heritage is not true. The heritage that one has from Yefes, from Yoifi, is the Me'en Olam Haba. It's the feeling of what you see in this world is not what you get. There's something more, there's something more special. When we sing Mirz on Shabbos, we have a feeling of Me'en Olam Haba. When we sing on Yom Yom, you feel that way. And when you feel the beauty of the Sugya, you feel that it's coming from the Hecher Makar. We should talk about it to be able to touch out the Me'en Olam Haba within ourselves. And feel that inspiration to get closer and closer to God's work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.